Hello, everyone. Welcome to my show, Andrew Everett Show. I am your beautiful host, Angelique La Diva Everett. This is my inclusive theater episode of my show and YouTube channel. I am drilled and got the opportunity to be sitting and chatting with two of my special guests, which is a mom and daughter duo. Yeah, I said mom and daughter duo, y'all. My first guest is Dr. Amy Levesque.
Woohoo,
And her awesome and amazing daughter, Jessica Levesque.
hi. Hey, it's great to be back on here again. And this
You
time,
know me? You know
I had to bring my mom along.
me? You got that right. I told you, you better bring your mama with you now. I did say
I'm
that.
excited. I am in the presence of gorgeousness, and like it doesn't get better than this.
Okay, you're making me blush
Two
now.
divas here, filled with love. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. Oh, I already said that already. Okay, don't need that. Well, I'm very, very happy for the both of y'all to be on my show and finally my own YouTube channel. So thanks, ladies, for being on my show.
Thank you for having us.
You're
Yes,
very
thank you.
welcome. I had to have you. I'm like, I always have Jess all the time. So let me see if I can get her mama on my show.
It took
Well,
us
this
months to get my mother to get here. it did. Well, things are a little busy, but like this is okay. We have time for our friends. It just sometimes takes a little bit to get there. That's all.
Yes, you do. I agree about that. Yes, it does.
True.
So, tell me about, oh, hold up. I forgot to even read about this. Hold on before I even finish. They own and operate a theater company. I totally forgot to say this part. Inclusive Theater of Westwood, New York. Seeks a reimagined our society through producing original scripts, an ongoing writing group and writing workshops, and drew the performance of those scripts with actors who are choosing solely on their ability, whether they have a disability or not, which I agree about that. See, we've been talking, and I totally forgot my other half of my intro.
That's
Okay.
okay. You're doing great.
Doing great. And I will welcome y'all already. So I don't even have to even go and say that part. So now I will go right into the question. So tell me about yourself, Miss Amy.
Okay. So what do you want to know? Do you want to know my personal background or inclusive or all of it?
I would just say all of it.
Okay, well, I'll just start. So I am the executive and artistic director of Inclusive Theater of Western New York. We have been around for 8 years. This is our 8th year. It's pretty exciting. And how we got there is through a lot of things, actually. My dissertation research when I was getting my PhD was on advocacy and empowerment for people with disabilities through the arts. I started seeing through writing group and acting things that people were finding their voice. And for me, especially as the parent of a daughter with autism, it was important for me to give her tools to advocate. So what I wanted to see was how we could make it a little bit easier to get people to speak what they wanted to say, and also different ways to get people to say what they needed to say. Because I think for me, it's very, very important that you tell your own stories. Because for a long time, people with disabilities were told what to say, when to say it, and how to do it. And I'm here to tell you they're wrong. You all have a voice And whether or not you speak it with your mouth or you speak in sign language or you type it in a document or whatever that is, your voice matters. So that's how Inclusive came to be. It really was through a lot of work and working with folks that wanted to have their voices heard. And it's interesting because one of the first topics we ever heard about, we'd hear all the time, oh, people with disabilities don't have sex or they shouldn't have sex. I had writing group and every letter that they wrote that day was about sex. And I'm like, why aren't we listening to them? You know, what is happening here, right? And that's what we were seeing. So that was just one of the areas. But really, for me, it was important to use it as a means of advocacy because there's power in your words and in your experiences. So that was basically how Inclusive was born, to give a platform for people who are disabled, people of color, people who are immigrants, people who live different lifestyles, to give them a space, not only to tell their story, but that it's a safe space where they won't be judged or hurt in that space. So hopefully that kind of does the Inclusive thing, right? Yes, but also it came through. So I'm also a professor. I teach English courses at Buffalo State College. And I do a lot of my work on looking at literature that has different representations of who people are, because the old literature was all a bunch of old white men that wrote really nice things, right? But there were also women who wrote, disabled writers, Black writers, Chinese writer. We need to look at those. So in my coursework on a day-to-day basis, I challenged what the old stuff says is correct and bring new and important voices into the conversation. And I also have the luxury of doing it to for my day job because I work as an education coordinator for Erie County now. Ooh. And I get to help people get to college and realize their dreams, but also realize the importance of their voice in the world. So that's super exciting for me. And then I got the benefit of, you know, Inclusive Theater that we still continue to push stuff out.
Now, all that you just said, I agree about that. I am a person of color, a woman of color. We've just got into February, which is Black History Month.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
If it wasn't for all of the other Black history and all these slaves and everything, us are Black people of color would not be here. So I definitely agree about that. This is basically what I do at my show. I want to empower women. So
agreed. Well, and it's also an important time in our culture. You know, we have things happening like the Tyre Nichols incident. George Floyd, we have all of it, Breonna Taylor, all of these things are happening. And we're at a point in our time or society or whatever you want to call it, where we really need to start addressing these issues and not just putting a Band-Aid. We need to focus on solutions. We can't just keep saying, oh, it's going to be taken care of or somebody's fired for it. We need actual solution focused issue, like to address what's happening. And I think this, it's exciting time for that. It's terrible. All those things that are happening, they should not be happening. But for us as a community to come together to help influence change on whatever level we can, I think is very important for us to do.
I agree about that. Look what happened here in Buffalo with the Tops Massacre. Now that I thought was just ridiculous, especially it was actually in my neighborhood as well too, on Jefferson. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, and before Jess jumps in, I'm just going to say our Inclusive offices were in that neighborhood until COVID because we could no longer sustain it there. You know, we weren't meeting anymore, but that was our grocery store. We would go over and get food for writing group, or we'd go get, you know, for birthdays and run over and get a cake. We were regularly in that top. So that was Inclusive's Tops as well. And that is a hard yes. thing to see. Because it shouldn't have happened.
It hits close to home, and it really is time for change at this point. And this is with all of the stuff that's happening around our, you know, in our own backyards. You know, it's really time for a change to really step up our game and to advocate for our rights, our body rights, especially have regulations or some sort of regulations on those stupid guns. Nobody needs it.
Well, in a way that we have found that is impressive and works is that, okay, so we have these topics, right? With a lot, I heard things about women's rights. We're talking about, you know, African-American rights. We're talking about gun laws and all these things. These are hard topics for people, okay? Good, bad, or indifferent. They're hard. You know, I teach racial equity classes almost weekly now for Erie County. And, you know, it's a hard conversation to have, okay? But one of the things that we have learned is through the arts, okay? We can tell stories in such a way that isn't as alarming to somebody while at the same time teaching them something, which is very important. I'm not saying that our dialogue shouldn't be uncomfortable, but because I think we do the most learning when we're uncomfortable, but I think we needed to present it in such a way that we reach as many people as we can. And I think the arts gives us the opportunity to do that, whether it's writing a book or staging a performance or a piece of music. Art is what we live for. So if we can utilize that, I think that's how we grasp onto that change.
I agree about that. I definitely agree about that. And especially with just that said too. Like I was on the news, me and my grandma was watching the world news, and they was talking about how little kids now are getting guns. I'm like, what? A six-year-old had his mother's gun. And went to school and shot a teacher. I'm like, a six-year-old, really?
Yeah, and I know people that are pro-gun rights, this makes them very uncomfortable as well. But the general conversation is not about having a personal handgun or keeping yourself safe. It's about automatic and machine guns and those kind of weapons. That is artillery that is used typically in military forces, right? Why do we need that? And that's a whole other conversation for another day. We could talk about that on your podcast for like a week, right?
Yeah, but
it's important to think about like those things and how different people are going to react, like people that are pro this or pro that. And again, the arts is kind of that neutral space where we can have these conversations, and whatever decision someone makes is up to them at the end. But hopefully it will incite change.
Yeah, like you said, we can talk about that another day. Another day, it is Black History Month almost. So.
Yes, ma'am. Every day of every single year.
Including my birthday, y'all. My birthday is a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks.
Coming up, right? That's right. Happy early birthday. It's your birth month.
Thank you. I celebrate all month long. So.
That's right.
February 14th.
That's right, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I'm a Valentine baby.
That's right. I remember that.
Where am I at? Oh, before I even go into anything else, Jess, you tell me about yourself, because I got both on here. I do both can answer, so.
Well, I am an entrepreneur, so I am a jewelry maker. I make hair accessories, and I'm making like resin jewelry now. So that's the thing I'm trying out currently. Also, I'm an actress. I've been an actress for 10 years.
Whoa.
So 10-year veteran, been acting for nearly a decade. I am also a singer and a dancer. I'm also an advocate. And, you know, I'm also, you know, we've done motivational speaking type of gigs, mom and I. So we've done like speaking stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you mentioned singer and dancer, so I actually have that question in here. I had that question in here too for me to ask you. So good thing you said that. But before I even do that, I had a couple of, well, I guess I can ask before I even get back to your mama. Jess, since I got you right here, so mm-hmm. When did you get started acting and dancing?
I started dancing when I was like probably 3 or 4 years old. And that's where I fell in love with the stage.
Ooh,
so wow. I did my first as a tap dancer. And then kind of stepped back from it for a little bit, but then got back into it in my adult years. And I learned some tango.
Tango.
Also, learn how to, yeah, I also learned how to do jazzy hip hop. I got to learn tap dancing again. So there's a lot of like, it's a lot of practice, but it's really a lot of fun because you get to dance to like all kinds of cool music, like Ooh. Pitbull. Oh my goodness. What else? Oh my gosh. Well, there's so many singers, but yeah, I've been dancing probably for almost close to 30 years, but
that's a lot of years.
It's crazy. And I've been acting for 10 years. My first acting debut came out. It was called Always October.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
So I got to play two characters. I was a teddy bear and a left shoe.
Woo!
And that's what I was like, you know what? I knew what direction I was going. I was like, you know what? I love doing this. I want to continue to act and pursue and get myself out there.
Well, that's a good thing. All right. Well, now I'm going to rotate to your mama now because I have a couple more questions to ask your mama. So, come on,
I'm ready. I'm ready all for right. it.
What is your mission and vision for your theater company?
So basically, our vision's easy. It's diversity, inclusion, and respect. That has been, it doesn't need to be any more detailed than that. We believe that everybody should be represented. We should be, everybody should be included, and everybody should be respected. And also, as you mentioned, you know, we're dedicated to advancing artists of all levels of ability, and changing how people see what people from diverse backgrounds look like. So a lot of the times we hear things like disabled person, or it's not the normal, right? I don't even know what that means. Okay. So what we do at Inclusive, and this has always been my focus, has been that people are not disabled or abnormal, right? It is the environment that is. And if we can fix the environment, we can give people an opportunity to shine. And it's really not a hard concept, but it seems to elude a lot of people, and I'm not quite sure why. So for example, if somebody comes into our theater company and wants to become an actor, and okay, you have a show, somebody usually has, you know, a few weeks of rehearsal, and then you stage your performance. But this person has a reading issue. They have some trouble comprehending material. So what I do is say, okay, how can we best meet your needs? And the first way we do that is often adding a few more weeks of rehearsal, right? We need a little extra time.
Oh, yeah.
We then build in some one-on-one time. We work on strategies that will help with things like retention and understanding what's actually happened. That is what changing the environment means. It's not just, although we have to, it's not just putting a wheelchair ramp in, okay? Because some people don't need to use that. However, if somebody comes in for a show and they need to get on stage, that is in fact built in to assist them to be the actor that they want to be. So our job at Inclusive, and that's where this diversity, inclusion, and respect means, is giving people the dignity and the tools that they need to become who they want to be. Now, not everybody wants to be an actor, and not everybody can be, and that's okay. But you can bet if you come to Inclusive, we are going to do whatever we can to support you in any way that we can to make you successful in what you're doing. It happens backstage. Some people work on lighting and sound with us. Some people are stage managers. Some people come in and they they might come in and make our posters for our shows, or they might come in and work on the music. There are so many roles in theater. And people, I think, sometimes forget that. They think it's just the actor on stage, but there's so many pieces. And we welcome people from all kinds of backgrounds to come in and work with us, because we realize that through that, we're all better people. You know, you've met somebody from a different country and you have conversations and you find out how alike you are, right? But also some things that they do that you didn't even know about. And then you start doing them and you're better at what you're doing now because they've given you tools, and then you turn around and give them tools. Like, we are in a global community, and our theater company represents that. And that's what's so exciting for me. and that we don't just say that we do it, we put it into practice. You know, we are doing this every day. We don't say somebody has to come in and tell us that they have a disability. I don't care. That's not the point. Our job is to help you reach your goals. So we do that in any way. And what we've done that since the beginning, I think we've gotten really, really good at it over the years because it's all that we do. And I think going forward, it's only going to continue to get better because the people that are coming to Inclusive also believe that. And the people that work with us and support us, you know, we just recently got a grant from the Cullen Foundation. That's an anti-bullying initiative. Woo! They believe in the work that we're doing. And that's important because that's where we see change in society and how people are treated. And that's, for me, the most exciting part, not only seeing that change, but also seeing the change in the actors and the participants that come in. That is the greatest gift. And I get to see that every time I get into that theater space, right? I get to see people shine. And then outside, seeing people, how much they've grown because they've had that opportunity. You know, we've got actors that are now performing, you know, on stages all over Western New York. That's super exciting for me because that means people aren't looking at them with a deficit, they're looking at their strength as an actor. And that is so cool. I love seeing that.
That's good. And I agree about you. There are other parts of theater. I know when I was in high school, I was actually a part of the stage, being, you know, helping people out behind the scenes. So I got the help to do that. I was part of the stage crew. So,
and what an important job that is. Without you back there, the show doesn't happen. And I think people don't realize that. Like, you need people in all of those key spaces because the actors need their props. The actors need your support. They need to know when they're going on. All of those pieces are so important in theater. And maybe you're not inclined to be an actor. That's not something that you want to do. Although I would challenge you to at least try it. But maybe you're not interested in that. There are so many roles that you can play. And as long as you have the support of someone, you are capable of anything you set your mind to. I think if there's any takeaway in this video of us today, is that no one has any right to tell someone no. Every dream that you have, not only can be dreamt, it can be realized if you surround yourself with the people that will lift you up. And that bottom line.
I agree about that. Because all I always say is you can do what you want to do as long as you put your mind to it. You know, you can do it. So.
Yes. And also it's crushing what the expectations people have. You know, Jess and I were talking about, like, it literally doesn't matter. No one is validating my existence. Right. But for people for a long time, particularly people with disabilities, everybody thought they needed to validate how great someone was. Oh, what a great thing. You did such a great job. Well, you might have done a great job, but, like, does that make you do anything better? You have to put in the work. And when you put in the work for something that you want, not only don't you need the validation, you're going to shine. You are shooting through the roof. That's what we hope people will do. Like, who cares what anybody thinks about or what they say about? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is what you put the work in and what you send out into the world. And hopefully that's filled with love, right? Like, that's we're putting love out there. And our love language in this case would be the arts. And we know by keeping those things, how beautiful that looks and how that changes other people's lives too. Because another thing that's interesting that happens, and we forget sometimes, is that nothing we do exists in a vacuum. Anything we do touches someone. So Angelique, just like your book, right? You wrote a book. It made you feel terrific. That's awesome. You got it, whatever. But what we're not thinking about is those children that just read your book, or the adult that was really feeling kind of hopeless and got a hold of your book. And that's, your book is a piece of art. It's literature, right? Yeah. All of those pieces, it's life-changing for other people. So the arts are so important because, again, like I said, I led before, arts is why we live, but also arts impact other people in ways that we cannot comprehend ourselves. And I challenge you, and anybody who is watching this, when it comes out, you know, listen to your favorite song on the radio. Do you think Sam Smith knows that Jessica Levesque is listening to his song? No, but I bet you Jess is going to take that song and she's going to look at the words and say, oh my God, this is clicking in my brain. I love what he's got on. I like what he did here. That's inspiration. And that is what changes us as human beings. And that's the hope with the arts being reflective of everyone in our world. The arts are not just a bunch of white people getting up on stage. That's false. That's how it looks in some places. And I'm here to tell you, that's completely wrong. Even if the author wrote it that way, it's wrong. But when we can challenge those pieces and we come in and come to the table as ourselves, it changes our lives, but it also changes the lives of other people. And the last part I'll put on there is we saw that with Barbie dolls. How long were Barbie dolls, white, blonde-haired Barbies?
Oh, yeah.
Or even our discussion of Ariel from The Little Mermaid. When we had a Black woman step into that role, Black girls saw her as a role model. That is life-changing. Black Barbies, life-changing. Disabled Barbies, life-changing. Yep. It's all pieces of art. And we may not be able to comprehend that. And some people may not think a Barbie doll is art, but there's people that have displays of them. So I would argue that they're wrong. But
they have comic Barbies too. Which is so amazing.
Exactly.
And little petite Barbie too. Not like those 5'10", but the petite Barbies too.
They are reflective of our world. And when we reflect our world, then we can internalize things and get things out that we need to get out. And which goes kind of back to our advocacy and all those other things. They are all interconnected. And that's what makes it beautiful. And I'll get off my soapbox because I could just sit up here all day and just be yelling down. It's art.
Yes, it is. And since you mentioned about my book, I was actually thinking about turning it into a play. So
you should do that. I would do more than think about it. I would do it.
Okay.
And there's ways it can be done. Even if it's a shorter book, it can be made a full length. It can be made a short play. It's whatever you decide you want it to look like. And you should do it. I agree.
I still got to get back into my other play anyway that I just written based on sexuality that I was telling you about. So
yeah, very important. Yeah, very important.
I was thinking about getting back into doing that again. So
the things that we do at Inclusive, we love showcasing local actors and local playwrights and local writers. That's what we do, right? We give people in our communities opportunities to express themselves as well. So what you're not seeing this year is we usually do, but we had a delay because of a snowstorm. So our show got pushed to April. So that's why we didn't do it in January. But typically in January, we do our Festival of Shorts. Oh. And in that Festival of Shorts, what we usually do is do outreach to local playwrights. We want to showcase their work. And then we do 5 to 6 plays and we perform them and they are part of the entire process. We invite the playwrights to come in and meet the actors. And then we present them, whether it's 1 or 2 weekends. This year, like I said, because of the storm, we had to push our big production into April. So we unfortunately had that, but hopefully next year we'll be back on schedule and we'll be back on doing those short plays.
That's good. So you definitely let me know. I would love
got it.
To come and check you out and check you out. All right.
You good and you should. You should come up.
Okay. And now since I'm working with Noelle Smith, you probably know Noelle.
Love Noelle. She is just a breath of fresh air. We love her.
She's amazing, I'm telling you.
She's amazing.
I'm going to let her know. So let me know for this year, because I would love to come to check you out.
Well, and I can give you, you want some behind the scenes stuff? Like I can give you some first things if you want to be the first to premiere these things. Well, the first one isn't really it's on Facebook, but so our show that we were supposed to do in November when we had the bad snow is called The Boys Next Door, and it's written by Tom Griffin. Now, Tom Griffin is not a local playwright. He is a Broadway playwright. However, the reason this play was selected is because it talks about and directly kind of head on with the staffing crisis that is happening with people with disabilities. Okay. And we know that, like, all of us have been affected in one way or another, losing staff or losing hours, whatever. So this particular story talks about 4 men who live in a group home. They have a staff person that works with them every day, adores them. And unfortunately, Jack is his name, gets extraordinarily burned out and he has a really hard time. and he loves these guys. And it's just navigating this world. Okay. So that's The Boys Next Door. Now that will be April 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Boys. And April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Tickets are $10, but what I tell everybody is if you can't afford it, all they have to do is reach out to us. Theater should be accessible to everyone. And if somebody cannot afford the show, they should just let me know and I will have a ticket at the door for them. There is no shame in it. There is no filling out paperwork. Theater is for everyone. And that is one of our other pieces that it's so important to us. Okay.
Could you tell me those dates again? I'm writing them down.
Sure. April 13th, April 14th, April 15th, 16th, and then 22, and 23. And that's The Boys Next Door.
Well, I got that down. So
okay. So the next one, this is hot off the presses. This has not been released yet. I'm releasing it later today. But your show gets it first.
Good.
Right? It's first. You get the thing. So many years ago, we started doing Shakespeare because people told us we can't do Shakespeare because people have disabilities and they don't understand. We're like, whatever.
You got that way, whatever.
We do Shakespeare. This year, we're excited to announce that we're doing the play, the comedy, Twelfth Night. Yeah. That will take place in July, July 14, 15, 16, okay? And this is where the premiere is. Auditions for Twelfth Night will take place this month, February 15th from 6 to 9, and February 19th from 1 to 4. And we do them at St. Mary's, which is where we do our production, St. Mary's High School in Lancaster. And when I tell you, I am not saying it, you know, to be cliche, that it is open to everyone. If you are a beginner and are interested in learning how to perform Shakespeare, or if you're a seasoned professional and you want to come work with us, we love that. And we laughingly call our shows Shakespeare in the Parking Lot.
Because
we've done them in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And this is another premiere. This year, we will be back outside in the parking lot under trees, and it was be magical. But we are literally going to be outside performing this year unless it rains.
Well, I would definitely would like to come. Like I said, I love Shakespeare. Always is my number one poet. And writer. So I actually written a play a long time ago on the concept of Othello. So
love Othello. Well, this one's a funny one. And I think, you know, the past couple of years we've been focusing on funny because, you know, COVID was kind of a bummer and we want people to laugh again. We want them to, you know, live your best life, have some fun. Doesn't always have to be serious. And we have a really good time. And what's really great about this one is the area that we're doing it at St. Mary's is covered with trees. You can put a blanket down if you want to and have a picnic out there, you know, or you can just bring a chair and hang out. There'll be a lot of options and it's going to be a really, really fun time, you know, and if you're worried about being cast, I mean, Shakespeare productions have like 20 characters usually. We need people. So even if you want to just give it a try out and maybe not have something a huge role, you want something smaller, come audition, let us know. You know, and if you're worried about auditioning, we can help you with that too. You know, it's a safe space, it's a fun space, and people that come in and do these things come back to do them again. And they like working with us. And then we have people that from the Buffalo Theater community that also come out to us and they're mentoring people that are new. And they want to help give them opportunities to shine as well. So it's a super fun time, but that is hot off the presses. The other kind of off the presses, but I don't have a date yet, is that this fall, we will be doing a production called Split Wit by local playwright, Gary Earl Ross. Ooh. He is phenomenal. I love Gary. He's an extraordinary playwright. And he has gifted us this opportunity. And as soon as I have dates, I will let you know that as well. But we'll be auditioning for that probably in the summer.
And what's the name of the one in July again?
Twelfth Night. The number 12th
night.
Yep, 12th night. Yes.
12th night.
And it is funny. It is, you know, focuses on some themes that we're working on. Bullying is in there a lot. And we're doing that because we're pairing that up.
Oh, I would definitely would like to see this. I'm an anti-bullying all over. So
yes. Yeah. So it's exciting. And, you know, we're all, again, we have a project with St. Mary's, and we hope some of the kids that participate in that will participate in 12th night as well, whether they're showcasing their work or they're participating in the cast. So
what are the dates again for that? Because I got the 14th, sure. The 15th, and the 16th.
Of July, that's correct. Yes.
Oh, okay, that's just making sure.
Yep, just that one weekend. We do it one time, 3 days. They are in the evening on Friday and Saturday, and Sunday is an afternoon.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, you heard that, y'all. You heard that, my viewers. Make sure that you, and this is hot off the presses, only on my show.
Nobody knows that. I literally just texted. I got my confirmation, so that's right.
Make sure you go and tell them that Angelique sent y'all.
That's right. That is right.
And it's affordable, $10 if that's affordable.
$10. And again, if you cannot do it, just drop an email, inclusivetheater@gmail.com, and say, hey, I really would like to attend this performance, and I will have a ticket for you.
All right. Now, where am I? Oh, here we go. So how often, since, you know, COVID is going around, how often do you clean your theater?
So right now, because we're at St. Mary's, that's they do that stuff. So I honestly couldn't tell you. Okay. What I can tell you from our productions is that, you know, throughout, we are often masked in rehearsals just for the safety of not only the, you know, the people that are there, but people that are acting. We don't mind getting sick before. St. Mary's is very good at having the place spotless. They have 24/7, you know, janitorial staff on site. And then, you know, as well as our mask and things, we have things like anti-vac and all of that stuff available to our cast behind the scenes as they're preparing for it. So quite often, but we don't do that at this point. It's on St. Mary's. They do that stuff because it's their space.
Okay. Well, that's a good
but the cool thing about St. Mary's, the reason we're there, and we didn't really say that, is that we are helping make their stage or their performance space accessible, because up until this time, it had not been. So we're working with them to get some funding to put wheelchair lifts to the stage to make the backstage accessible. So that's why we're currently out there. It's a great opportunity, and we'll open up theater to a number of people, especially once all the alterations are done to the stage and the setting and all that stuff.
And I would say this, and you said about you can challenge people to act and stuff. Now, me, I never really got into the acting world. I might, you know, I am a writer, but I don't know about doing the whole acting thing.
I don't know, Angelique. I got people that tell me that. Then they come in, and all of a sudden they turn into hams. I'm like, who is this?
Well, I have acted.
And then they're ham.
So. I was in one club.
See, I am a director. I am an executive. I don't have I'm not usually acting. I've stepped up there. It's kind of fun when you get in. It's like changing up what you're used to. But some people don't like it at all. That's okay. There's other roles. And that's why I encourage people who are even have a little bit of interest in theater to look at what those other things you can do are. It's not just the stage. There's a lot of roles in theater. We just have to take that jump.
I agree about that, because it was one of my first play with Spet. I was thinking about it at first. I was like, I don't know if I should be Sherry or not, because, you know, that was my leading role, you know, my leading lady, you know. And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, Keller just blew me away in the audition process. And I'm like, that's my Sherry.
Well, and I can tell you also as a writer, because that's what I do. Our work is like our children. So it is very hard sometimes to let go of that role. And oftentimes we do write it as it's ourselves that are in the role, right? Because that's what we do. We put ourselves into them. The characters become ours. But, you know, I agree. Oftentimes letting someone else step into the role, and it's got to be the right person, right? Like, or you're still going to be like, oh my God, I can't do this. And I've seen shows where people have put somebody in and I'm like, I don't know what just happened here, but this is not a good time. But whatever. It's really helpful if the writer believes in the person that's taking over the role. And sometimes letting go of that and allowing somebody to step in actually helps you become a better writer, because you stop writing for yourself and you start writing for other people. And that's what I found. Like, I've had stuff I wrote, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, a normal person wouldn't say this. I would say that, but not a normal person. So it challenges me to be a better writer by allowing someone else to step in. And that's kind of fun.
I agree about that, because as I was writing, sharing, I didn't know I could have stepping into the role as I was writing her. And I guess, you know, as I was writing, I was thinking about, you know, her being, you know, a person of color, you know, how we like to talk and stuff, like, hey girl, you know. And then once I heard Keller, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, and they bring something new that you didn't expect. Right. That's why it's so much fun.
But she's always funny anyway when she's stepping
in. Keller's, we love Keller. Keller's a ham too. And Keller does, she can walk right into anything and just kind of do her thing, which I just love. It's great.
I'm definitely going to have her on my show too. I was like, because I talked to her about that, you and John got to come on my show together. So
I love it. She'll be great.
So where am I at? Oh, here we go. What are your duties and responsibilities as a director?
Okay, well, I'm an executive director and an artistic director. When I'm, if we're talking about a play, and excuse me, I gotta take a drink real quick.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So my cats keep coming into my office, and they sit on my laptop and they make me cough. But anyway, so when I'm directing a show, my responsibility is the entire show. My job is to make sure that the actors know their lines, that they know how to land those lines, that they know how to stand on stage, that they know how to interact with each other. But also, I think an important part of my job, and you know, directors don't often talk about it, it really is helping the cast come together. And I know it sounds cliche, but oftentimes you'll hear in theater, you know, we became a family in 4 weeks. And I think that's important. I think when you all have a rapport with one another and you all are trusting of each other, you depend on one another, that's when you get the best show. And whether you're doing that by little silly activities or you're doing that by going out to dinner or whatever that is, it's important for a cast to come together. Now, does it always? No. And you know it when it doesn't. You know, we've had our share of challenging situations, but when I go in as a director of a show, my job is to make sure that the audience will get the best possible performance they can. And whatever way you got to do it, you do it, right? I also have to interpret a script. Now, for me, that becomes a little easier because I write. So I'm always reading these shows and trying to figure out how to make things work, because I have to interpret those words. That's another duty as a director. I have to make sure not only that I'm interpreting it, that I'm interpreting it in such a way that the writer would be happy about it. Because sometimes people misunderstand what an author was trying to get at or a writer was trying to get at, and then everything goes haywire. So part of that role is making sure that the script is translated the way it should be. So again, ultimately the job is to make sure that the audience is seeing a show that is not only true to what the writer is, it's professionally done, and everybody has put their best effort into it. You know, there's other parts of it, obviously, you know, because I am the executive director too. I'm working on the playbills. I'm working on all kinds of things. But my, you know, the joy that I have is really getting the relationships to form. And I know that I've done a good job when I start seeing cast members add other cast members on Facebook. They start to become friends with them. Oh. When I find out that they've gotten together with a couple of them after, that they go to see other people's shows to support them after the show is done. That for me is the most fulfilling. Because again, we have people that have been working in theater for 100 years, not really 100, but for a long time. And then we have brand new people. And what a great thing to do when somebody that has the experience lifts somebody else up to try to share that with them. And I think that's amazing. And that's so much fun for me. Because I also have that experience with my teaching, right? Dallas Taylor, who is our artistic director as well, inclusive, who I just adore. He's very intelligent and he's so good at what he does. He's a great actor. Dallas was my student at Buff State. Now, when you are teaching a class on whatever you teach, you know, you want everybody to kind of get along, but there's kids that don't want to be there. There's kids that really want to be there. And there's kind of ones in the middle, right? I feel like if I can get at least a good handle, a good chunk of people that are interested in what's being taught, that they'll take it with them as they move forward in their life. And again, you don't get everybody because they're not there for this, the right reasons or whatever. But Dallas was one who came in and he was one that learned and the course was good. And then after Dallas one day showed up at writing group and I thought, holy mackerel, what is he doing here? The first thing, and I always joke, did I pass him? I don't know. Like he was quiet. I didn't know. But he came to writing group and started mentoring some of the men who were writing. And then Dallas started, you know, working. We had acting classes and we did improv classes and Dallas was showing up. And then we had things we were doing with the colleges and Dallas was there. That sort of family bonding, I guess you could call it. Like people say, oh, don't say family because families are dysfunctional. Well, whatever. But when you some families aren't. Yes, not all. That's correct. Yeah. And I think that when you have a relationship where there's trust and love and support, it does look like the family that you want to make. And I like to see that. And when I see that with someone like Dallas or someone that comes into the theater and they keep coming back to participate in the show, I've known both as an executive director and as an artistic director that I've done the right thing. Another job that I have as artistic director is finding plays that represent people in the correct way. And by correct, what I remember when I was saying, you know, the playwright might have written everybody as a white character, or this person doesn't have a disability. Okay, why can't they? So when I'm reading scripts, I find ways to challenge the status quo. You know, I've seen police officers that are in wheelchairs. Why can't that police officer roll out on stage? He can't.
You got that right.
Or why can't this whoever the director is in the show be a Black woman? She can. Why is she not there? So I am always trying to overturn what the status quo is. So I have to do that by looking at scripts. First of all, things that are racist, out. Like we're not looking at any of that crap. Ableist, out. Like we're not doing that. So that's the first identification. But also in the second part is what can we do to impact change on our end? So I will sit there and I'll go through and say, wow, this might work really good with so-and-so here. Let's try this. And in most cases, if the playwright is still living, they're cool with it. Sometimes they're not. I've had a couple that were hard. I don't want to do it. Well, then we're not going to stage your show. You know, we have to be able to change things up a little bit to get with 2023. You know, our world looks different because it is different.
Yes, it is.
It isn't just one way. And we need to reflect what people in the audience should see when they come see a show should be reflective of the world in which they live. Unless you're doing science fiction or something and there's a whole bunch of aliens. And then we just take our best guess, right? That's all you can do. Yeah. I'm not hanging out with any on Friday night. But the things that we can change and can be reflective of our society should be reflective of society.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a primary thing. And then lastly, I think, again, as a director, trying to teach people to advocate for themselves, whether it's an actor who is having a little challenging time coming to me and saying, I need a little extra help, whether it's somebody who has a disagreement and they don't know how to resolve it. I kind of act as an intermediary there. My job is to support people in their development as actors, as playwrights, as behind the scenes, whatever. And that we can have adult conversations that are solution focused and safe. That is my underlying with everything. We don't go in and we're not screaming at somebody because something didn't go the right way. When people come to me with an issue, my first ask is, what can we do to solve this? And sometimes it's hard to come to that. But other times we have to stop and take a breath and think about it. You know, yesterday, and we were talking about it yesterday, I went and got dinner real quick because, you know, it was getting really cold and I had all these things to do. And I was at a place and I heard management screaming at staff.
Oh, boy.
what, there's no solution in what just happened. And you can imagine what happened after. I mean, all out fight with staff and other management. That's not how we get to solve anything. If we're fighting with one another, how do we expect people to believe in what it is that we're trying to get them to agree with, right? So my job also as a director is to make sure that what we're doing has a solution. And if we can't solve it, that we sit there and talk about ways of resolution. That's super important to me because sometimes people are hard. You know, theater tends to welcome a lot of fringe people. And that's what we love. People that maybe have been on the outside for a long time. We love that. But sometimes people think differently from one another. It doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means that it's different. So we have to figure out a way to come together and find a solution for that. And again, that goes back to kind of that relationship building and how important and how many people still stay friends after the shows are done. And we've had people that did not get along an entire show resolve it eventually and are good now. That's where my proud moments are. That's another, you know, the role that I help facilitate. And, you know, ultimately, if I had to say what the job was, it's to help impact change. That's why I do what I do. That's and always those principles, diversity, inclusion, and respect, right? But change is why we do what we do. And I will do it until the day that I die. You know, my daughter is a Latina woman who does not often see her face reflected in theater. I'm going to make sure that she has the platform to reflect her face in theater. People with disabilities come to me. They don't see themselves. I want to put you on stage. People of color, come on. We want to show people how extraordinary you are. They don't have to believe when I say it. They have to believe when they see it. You show them who you are. They can't say anything after that. And I will believe that forever. People make judgments on ignorance. They are unaware of what's happening. So our job, show them. That is what my job is. In any aspect of inclusive, is to show people who we are. I don't care what they think. I mean, ultimately, I'd really love them to be accepting of other people. If they don't, that's on them. They live with themselves. They go to bed at night and they gotta deal with it. But my job is to, and I'm here to tell you, every single person has an extraordinary story to tell, every last one of us, and nobody else should be telling it. And if there's an opportunity for you to step above that and share the work of another person as yourself, as that actor in that position, that's our job, because our job is to empower and support one another. Oh, and tying back to advocacy, when we feel comfortable, we begin to advocate for ourselves. And we're going to be solution focused in it. We're not going to use our emotions. We're going to use what we're, you know, our facts and try to find solutions to it. But our job is to show the world who we are and for people to stop speaking for others.
I agree.
And if that happens, yep, if that happens, we've done our job. If it doesn't, I'm going to keep doing it. I said, till the day I die, this is what I'll be doing. Giving people their voice. That's what it's about. I'm not telling your story. Somebody else is. So let's come back here. How do you want to tell your story?
I agree about that, because the moral of my podcast, which I'm saying right now, is basically I want to make sure that people are loud, proud, and can be heard. So
yes, agreed. And some people aren't going to agree with it, but that's too bad. That's on them.
People don't agree about other people's sexuality either. Like, and that's the reason why I'm writing my play based on sexuality. And I got not one, but two main characters with our female, and they're going to be showing their sexuality. And people do not. Some people, I won't say all people, some people do not even, don't even want to be a part of that, or don't even want to even mention about.
I would stage it in a second. And one thing, like I just saw this TikTok the other day that was really funny and it stuck out to me. This woman says, this right here, this is the story that I'm saying. That, you know, so it's two gay women or whatever it is. This is you over here. Where do you guys meet? You don't. It's none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to watch it. Your circle goes away. If you'd like to see it and be responsive and helpful, well, then we can come together. So those people that want to stay here, bye, Felicia. Tell the stories, because people live those lives. And who someone chooses to sleep with or not sleep with is none of my business. But you know what is my business? That they are happy and supported in what they choose to do. Oh, yeah. If we stop judging what people do because we think it should be one way or another, we'd be the happiest species in the world, because we wouldn't give a shit. We would just be happy for them.
It's not like they're hurting people. Let people do what they want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but this is a conversation, though. This
love is just the group. Love, so.
But this is just the conversation for this particular group. This has been happening with Black people, with disabled people. Now it's gay people. There is always another group that they're going to come for. So what you have to realize is that your story is important. The way that you choose to live, as long as you're happy, that's what it's about. If you aren't hurting anybody, you live that life. You live your best life. And you better believe I will be back here cheering for you the entire way. And I will say that, and Jess knows our views. We have a lot of conversations about this. We love our friends because they're our friends, not because of who they sleep with, not because what they do on Friday nights. You know, we love you for who you are. Now, I will preface that with, I am not friends with anybody that is involved in January 6th insurrection. I'm not friends with people who are racist. I am not friends with people who are this, that, and the other on purpose, because I cannot be friends with people who are so morally broken that they would hurt other human beings. But when I tell you, but when you are my friend, all that other stuff, love who you love, live how you live, live it the best way you can. And you know, I'm back there and I'm screaming loud for you. Women, I lift you up. Man, there are so many goddesses out there doing hella work, and men and others have us pitted against one another. You can't possibly support this one. I'm here to tell you, I do. I support every single woman that I see out there grinding to make a life and doing what they love to do and living their best life. I'm not jealous of anybody. I want you to do good, because you know, when you do good, you're also changing the world. When Jess does good, she's changing the world. And that then revolves right back to me. And that helps me become a better person. But our world would have you believe that you will have to fight against every single person in the world to get what you need to do. It's false. Lift each other up, show kindness and love one another. That's, you're done. You've done everything the way you're supposed to do.
Respect one another too.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the main focus of my second book. It respect is to respect yourself, respect other people, and be polite.
Yep. And it's not a golden rule. Okay. The golden rule is treat people how you want to be treated. It is the platinum rule. The platinum rule is treat others the way they want to be treated.
Oh, yeah.
It is not how I think you want to be treated. Stop telling people stories. I want to know how you feel and what I can do to treat you the way that you want to be treated. That's what it's about.
I agree about that. And especially how you mentioned about people that have disabilities can do whatever they want. So look at me, I'm a disability. I'm a person with a disability, and I'm actually doing dang all that. So,
and a disability is such a small part of who someone is. It's just a part. It's not the whole person. But for so long, people with disabilities have been defined by the disability. And that's simply because people don't understand. Okay. But when I'm looking at you, I don't see a person with disability. I see a person who is working her butt off to get a podcast going, that is working her butt off to have this YouTube series, that is a writer and a playwright and has books. That's what you focus on. Why do we always focus on what people think is the deficit? I don't understand. There is no, and also disability to me is not a deficit. Actually, I have met more extraordinary people with disabilities than people without. And I'll say it. Because let me tell you, when you have got to fight for everything that you have and you are facing adversity every single day and you go through hell and back, you are my fucking hero.
Yeah, I can tell you. I can tell you right now how many subscribers I got on my YouTube channel. Okay, so
I can. How tell many you got? Tell us.
I can tell you that right now. Hold up.
Okay,
I got 23 subscribers already.
Fantastic. And when this is released, we will share it on Inclusive's page, and you will have more as well. Yeah, but the point is, sorry, Jess, I cut you off.
Go ahead, Jess, because I'm about to come to you anyway, so go ahead.
No, we'll share this everywhere just to get the word out. That way you can get, like, more new followers and stuff, so.
I'm even on TikTok now, too. I've been talking about it on TikTok. I've been sharing some of my episodes on TikTok, so, including the one with you.
That's awesome.
And it's not just my show, my podcast as well too. I'm gonna be putting my podcast on there too. So
there you go.
So I already covered Miss Amy. So now I'm gonna be coming to you now, Miss Jess. Jessica.
What's up? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, you froze.
I said I'm done with Miss Amy because you always fill me in on everything. That's how come I haven't had you on the screen yet.
All right.
So my beautiful friend, now you up.
So what's the question, darling?
Did you have any, we mentioned performances already. I was going to ask you that question, but your mama already took that from you. So when did you get started acting and I already asked that question.
Yeah, it's okay.
See, I already asked you all some of these questions already. Can anyone come to see your performances?
Yes. Currently I'm an assistant stage man. Well, I'm a stage manager and I'm also an assistant director. So I have two, and it's a lot of responsibility.
Well, that's a good thing. You can tell me about that. Oh yeah.
It's really hard, but it's a lot of hard work and commitment, because a lot of the actors really depend on you having a lot of their props set up, like props or certain clothing, certain items, certain food items. So that's a lot of it's a different shoe that I'm able to fill in. It's hard, but it's different. And also being assistant director to read over like the script with the actors or actresses, just to go over lines, like let's just say they have like a big word, like they can't remember, I have to repeat it back to them, or they'll ask me, they'll be like, line. So when an actor or actress has a hard time remembering their lines, they'll on stage they'll be like, line, and then you say, "Il met by moonlight proud to Tanya." So that's an example.
I'm
just doing a lot of behind the scenes work.
Ooh.
But getting my name out there just by doing auditions and stuff. So hopefully I get a few parts in some future performances, because I just did a resume recently and that took me like probably 2 weeks, because I had like a huge list of like dancing, behind the scenes work, acting, appearing on independent films or films themselves, and appearing on like shows or music videos and stuff. So I was able to get that resume all typed up, but it was worth
it. That's a good thing, because you should even put on your resume how you've been on my show. Like, yeah, I've been on my friend's show.
Yeah, just to get the name out and stuff. So it's a lot of hard work, but it's really worth it at the end once you get your resume printed out and you're like, wow, I can't believe I did all this. Because once you step your feet into like entertainment business in general, you're like, wow, look how far along I came compared to like, you know, about like 10 years ago. Like, you know, you think you would have ever imagined you would have gotten from point A to point B.
I agree about that because I haven't really thought about that. I should, you know, like the stuff that I'm doing. I should add that to my resume. I never thought I'd get into filmmaking, and now look, I'm doing filmmaking.
Yeah.
But even doing my show, so I'm like, okay, I didn't think about that.
Well, that's what we do with inclusive and stuff. And as an ambassador, I forgot to mention, but as someone that's an ambassador, we see a lot of people blossom, like what I'm going to piggyback what Mom had brought up. A lot of people do develop skills, and a lot of them become really successful, like filmmakers, maybe behind the scenes work. Some people, oh my gosh, they, you know, once they fly away from us, they become like big SAG actors and stuff, that kind of happens and stuff. Or they do a lot of like behind the scenes work that they blossom and or become successful writers. You know, it's really amazing to see how people can be positively impacted through inclusion in the art. Inclusive theater in general, but you just see how their progress is. And it's really amazing. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I work with that person. Now they're doing X, Y, and Z, which is really amazing to watch.
Now, before I ask the other part, we're going to go into your business since I haven't really even asked you about your business and we've been talking about inclusive. So, what's going on with you and your business?
Oh, business? Oh, for my shop.
Yeah, I'll just say for 2023, since we are in 2023 now, what are you doing with your business in 2023? Oh, about to.
I mean, do you want me to talk about my shop or do you want me to talk about with acting or anything like that?
Well, I guess you can talk about well, a little bit about your shop and then we'll go into the acting part.
Well, I just uploaded recently a lot of new items. I was able to obtain a lot of new merchandise, like let's just say a lot of like a little bit blurry. Here it
Oh,
is.
yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's
Yeah,
all
here.
right.
It's a little bit. Gosh, I'm not too keen on it. It's like kind of like censorship, but I'll tell you, I made some lollipop earrings and stuff. That was really
Ooh.
fun. Takes a lot of time and patience. I also made from Scream, like Ghostface earrings.
Ooh.
So since the movie's going to be coming out, I figured, any girl or man that wants to accessorize with their jewelry, they can purchase Scream earrings before the movie comes out while it's hot and stuff. So for the new Scream movie part 6.
Wow.
So I figured start making that. And it's limited edition. It's limited only because not everybody's going to get the Ghostface earrings. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of work with that. I did have a customer purchase like a few pins and what else they had purchased. Oh, a few bracelets too. So I was able to sell some bracelets recently. So that's been going really well.
Oh, that's
During the beginning
good.
of COVID, my shop was a little bit let's just say I didn't get that much customers because of COVID. And everybody was losing their jobs and stuff, and which I understood, but I was able to obtain and keep my business afloat. And then once the a lot of the rules and regulations and stuff and guidelines, the COVID things have been lifted, and the emergency thing is going to be lifting this year, interestingly enough, in May. I was able to get more customers after the pandemic.
Oh, well,
Which
that's
is
good.
so I was able to keep my stuff online. It was hard, but it was at the end, I was like, I can't believe I did it. I was able to keep my shop. Wasn't easy, but it was really worth it at the end.
Agree about that. I'm basically not working on my book right now, but I'm almost done with my second one, so that's in the process of getting done almost. So I'm
I
happy
can't.
about that.
I can't wait to see that when your book comes out. Let us know when you have like your big book signing.
Oh, you know I will. You know I'm gonna have to have a probably a launch party like I did before. You know, at the museum, probably I can have y'all probably do the launch party, you know, at your theater company. So
yeah,
that would be pretty awesome.
Oh,
I bet Amy would like that. So you're gonna have to talk about that.
But also, I forgot to mention is our we had brought it up on your podcast, the Fredheads documentary.
Oh yeah, yes we did.
Well, we just got the official announcement on February 14th, 2023. Our movie is available to watch on Amazon and on DVD.
Oh, okay. Good thing to know.
Sorry if it keeps on blurring, but we have.
But I can see the back of it, so that's pretty awesome.
Sorry if it keeps on blurring, everybody, but they do.
That's all right.
Fredheads documentary has social media and stuff. If you want to look them up, follow them. Also, Inclusive Theater also has social media. If you or anybody else that's looking to follow and keep us up or keep you guys updated with Inclusive Theater.
That's a good thing. That was my last question I was going to ask you about where can we find you with Inclusive. So,
well, we have, for Inclusive Theater, they have a Twitter account, Inclusive WNY. So it's blurry, but that's Inclusive. Oh. Sorry if it's blurry.
Now, what about Instagram? You want Instagram with Inclusive?
Yep. Inclusive has Instagram as well.
Oh, okay. Also, good thing to know.
Inclusive Theater of WNY. So that's also an Instagram. Sorry if it's blurry.
That's all right.
And I am sorry.
Someone just popped up in the chat bubble. Okay.
And Facebook as well. I mean, you could look.
She's sending me something about Facebook on here.
I put them on there for you. So we're Inclusive Theater ER. Make sure it's the ER.
Oh, ER. Okay. Thank you.
www.inclusivetheaterofwny.com is our website. Okay. Our Facebook is www.facebook.com/inclusivetheaterofwny. And if you need to get in touch with us via email, it is Inclusive Theater, ER again, WNY@gmail.com.
Well, that's a good thing. Thank you for sending that to me. I can write that down. So,
and Jess, if you want to put those other ones in, or can you not? Because it's on you. I can probably do it.
Yeah, I'm probably following you on Instagram. So,
Inclusive has Twitter, and oddly enough, I have a Twitter account again.
Yeah. I was on Twitter, but then I got off of it. I said nobody not following me on Twitter, so I just got off of it. So I'm doing everything else. So
yeah, I'm back on it. I got my account unsuspended. It's a long story, but
oh, boy. Well, now we're getting back to Inclusive because we're almost done now, so we can talk for hours. What about your acting?
My acting?
Yes. Are you acting in any performances coming up?
Shakespeare.
Oh, yes. So I'm allowed. Okay. I got a part in the Shakespeare. I did a couple of, interestingly enough, some other performances. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm not going to announce it until things are fully official or not official because I won't say anything. But other than that, we're getting the word out for Fredheads documentary that'll be coming out in a few weeks.
I also have one more thing to add to that. So we have also been a part of a disability film challenge for the last 4 years. Ooh, and we will be. Yes. So it's a disability film challenge. This year, our theme is romance.
What?
And we will need all kinds of help. I believe that the week that we film is going to be in May, and I can get you those dates. But what we look for, this is disability specific. So we look for people who are writers, actors, people who might be good with the computer to edit, music, all of those things. And we have 1 week to make a movie. Mm-hmm. And again, our theme is romance this year. So we have to write it, film it, and edit it and submit it within 7 days. And we are doing that again this year, which is super exciting. And we've had a couple people already say they wanted to join us. So if you are interested, and again, a lot of it's done remote, although this year I think our filming will be in person. And obviously we'll have the same safety protocols, like, you know, with the masking and all that. But those that are interested in participating should hit us up on email and just put Disability Film Challenge, and we will we'll get you to the right folks.
That's a good thing. Speaking, are you going to DD Day this year? It's going to be. It's going to be face to face now this year. I know. So,
possibly, it just depends for me on my work schedule. I've got to see if I can get the time off, because I'm also, like I said, I do the stuff with students, and I may not be able to do it. But I'll see. I'll try.
Same here. Yeah, I gotta try to figure out my schedule, because my schedule's been piling up every day. It's always something, but I'm not mad. I'm very grateful and very humble to do a lot of the things that most people that might not have the opportunities to do. That I'm so happy about it, but I'm not mad.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We talked about that. I would love to come to see you at in one of these Shakespeare plays, Jess.
Oh, you gotta really check us out. You will love it. Something you won't forget. You won't regret it. It's gonna be, I got a great feeling it'll be a great performance this summer.
It should, especially the Shakespeare play too. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, I am actually done. I've written all your information down here. Mm-hmm. So let me wrap up. I am your beautiful host, Angelique, and this has been another episode of Angelique Everett Show. Now I want to say thanks to my very two amazing special guests, Amy and Jess. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for
You're welcome.
I'm glad.
A pleasure.
Thank you for coming with us, Ma.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
You got that right, too. I had to have you, Amy. So
I love it. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for thinking of us.
Come on, Jess. We got to have her come on here. So.
Oh, yeah.
Months to get you on here,
but I know it. You know, life is busy, but that's okay, we'll get there.
Ladies are amazing, and don't forget to you ladies are amazing, I'm telling you. And I got to have
you,
Amy, on here, because she's absolutely amazing.
You are amazing too, and it is an honor to be here.
I'm grateful to be back.
Now don't forget to use Angie Gavitt Show, to like me on Facebook, find me on Instagram at Angie EE Show, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Angie Gavitt Show, or go to my website, angelieshow.com.
Hit that like button, everybody, and subscribe.
I'm Angelique, and I'm rocking it.